It's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I've brought you the greatest gift of all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in that case...
Entertain me!
It's showtime.
Make use of the help that God puts around you.
We are not a glum lot.
A promise is a promise.
It's very simple. Just don't drink and go to meetings.
Give time, time.
Easy does it. But do it.
Want to have self-esteem? Just do esteemable things.
One day at a time.
We carry the message, not the alcoholic.
Don't quit before the miracle happens.
Hey, with an effective character, three guys sitting around talking about our personal experience in recovery. Hey, I'm Mike.
I'm Dennis.
And I'm Jack, the Pumpkin King.
It's not Christmas anymore.
It could still be Christmas.
Okay.
The opinions are our own. We don't represent any particular organization, institution, or fellowship. Today we'll be sharing our experience about monsters and demons. James Pick in episode 231 of the Defective Characters podcast. Let's go.
Ooh.
Why'd you throw a caveat at the beginning?
A caveat? What, that it was your pick?
Yeah.
Just in case you missed last week's episode. Where we said, what the hell does that mean? Then we knew that it didn't come from Dennis and I. Usually Dennis has the crazy ideas.
Well, I think we've reached that point in our podcast where we got to start thinking outside the box. Dennis is coming up with aliens next, he said, or symbiotes.
Symbiotes.
So, James, why don't you get us started with the last 7 days? We'll go around and then you can talk about how you came up with it.
Okay. I worked 62 hours last week. I was tired. And then Sunday, Monday, I had off. And I almost picked up a shift both of those days. But I was like, no, let me just rest. I almost on Saturday night bought tickets to go see a comedian. I think his name is Nate Barginski, something like that. Have you heard of him?
Bargatze, yep.
Yeah. But it was in the Amway Theater at the very tippy top. It would have been like $150 at least for the top. And I was like, it didn't make sense to me because you would just be seeing this tiny itty bitty man.
He's actually one of our sober brothers. I don't know if he's a member of the fellowship, but he quit drinking and lost a bunch of weight and decided to because he's what's known as like a clean comic. So. Usually the majority of the stuff he talks about is something middle-aged parents or just middle-aged men would get. But he...
Like a Jim Gaffigan kind of guy?
Yeah, I would say a little bit like that, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've seen a lot of his stuff on, Netflix, and then I heard about him. And he always made my wife and I laugh. And I didn't know he was a sober brother. That's cool. But I had the tickets and I was going to go and I was like, at the last minute, I was like, no, it seems like a waste. I'd much rather just watch it on TV and have a front row view. And ultimately I'm glad I did because yesterday, I swear when I'm scrolling, like these things pop up and I have to buy them. I don't know. Do you watch that, the Naro effect?
No, I've not.
Nope.
And he's a magician. I strongly recommend him. And I got front row tickets to go see him, but it's in May. And so I was extremely excited to get those. And it's at the Plaza at Orlando. And then I was looking up reviews on the Plaza. And one of the performers was murdered there 7 years ago. So there's probably...
Yeah.
You heard about it?
I did hear about it. That's why I actually love that place.
What?
I love it. Because the odds that two murders are going to happen there, very unlikely.
Right. I'm super safe.
I mean, maybe, I guess.
Hopefully they have security by now. But there was no security at all. So God bless that coming of age and family. But other than that, I'm going to see the boys next month. Excited about that. I rented a little cottage on Airbnb. It's got like an upstairs and a downstairs, and it's got like a little loft area, and I showed pictures to the boys and they're super excited. And Talitha's doing one of her ultra runs. I think she's just on the crew, so she's not going to be running. But other than that, you know, working and working out. And that's it. I still have to organize my room. Okay, you're next.
Nice. Dennis, go.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do anything as exciting as you guys this week.
Minecraft. Minecraft.
A lot of Minecraft. I thought I was getting sick the other day. And I feel kind of bad. I was like, our good friend Ray, like his daughter went out of town. And so she was like scheduling people to like hang out with them on certain times of days and stuff. And I was supposed to hang out with them on Monday. And I got like the Sunday evening, I felt like I was getting sick. Like I felt it in my throat and everything. And I was like, oh no, this sucks. And when I woke up in the morning, I still kind of felt that way. So I canceled like early in the morning just to give her time to find someone else to fill my time slot or whatever. And, you know, the day before yesterday, you know, I felt kind of sick, but then it like kind of went away and never materialized to like a full sickness. So I felt like I could have like gone and hung out with them, and I canceled like prematurely. So I feel kind of guilty about that.
But so what are you going to do?
I don't know. Hang out with them another day, I guess.
There you go, buddy.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to be cat sitting this weekend for a couple of days. So that's exciting. I haven't seen the cats in a while.
Did you do a poo in the corner?
No. I used a litter pan like a good boy.
You didn't make Pooh's Corner?
Oh, I did make Pooh's Corner. You saw that episode?
Yeah.
It's so cute, right?
Yeah. Explain. Yeah.
It's, well, on the server I work on or play on and make content on, I basically made a wood shop where we sell logs in the shopping district, but I made it as Winnie the Pooh's house, like his little tree house and stuff. And I even put a log out front that like you can sit on, or like that Winnie the Pooh was sitting on. It's adorable. So cute.
It's Pooh's Corner.
Yeah, Pooh's Corner. Yeah. Other than that, on that server too, we had another like, well, two moderator meetings, one to discuss stuff, and then like we had to have another meeting with like a player that we were getting complaints about and stuff. So that's never fun. Like when you're place of authority like that, it almost feels like some of your responsibility is babysitting, which is really like annoying.
Players want to really play.
Yeah, players want to play, man. But yeah, I don't know. That's a whole nother like aspect on some of the problems that were popping up and stuff. Like, I don't even want to. Like, I'll touch on it real quick. It's like, you know, in recovery, we value our anonymity, right? And like in content creation, right, a lot of players on the internet choose to be anonymous just because how dangerous the internet can be. And especially if you get some fans, you can get some crazy fans that like track you down and stuff. So we have a player who kind of has a history of getting like a little too personal and like seeking out people's like personal social media accounts and stuff when we're supposed to be like, they're supposed to be anonymous, you know? So it's, the internet's a weird place, man. And it's such a weird place. But yeah. What about you, Mike? You sit at home and do nothing all day or all weekend?
I pretty much sat home and did absolutely nothing. No, I made – oh, there's an ambulance behind me. This is going to be interesting. I got to get out of the way. Hold on, guys. Oh, I'm in the middle of the intersection.
Are you in a mobile studio right now?
I'm in a mobile studio right now, yeah. Oops. Sorry. Oh, jeez. Hey, am I the only person that if a ambulance – is behind you, then you can't get anywhere? That it really stresses you out? Am I the only person?
Well, yeah, it stresses me out too. Yeah,
I don't know what to do ever.
You anyway, like, can't get over.
You guys say a little prayer? I always say a little prayer when an ambulance or I go by a car that has an accident. I say a little something.
Yeah, well, my wife does.
Yeah, we actually drove past. I was with Becky's youngest, who just turned 10, and Olivia, and we saw a guy that was slumped over. We heard the siren, so we knew that they were already on the way, but the accident had just happened, and the guy was slumped over, and all the airbags were deployed.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, Lord, you know.
God bless him.
Anyway, on a little bit of a brighter note, the vacation was great. Everything that we wanted to get done, we got done. Unfortunately, there was some sickness that was still in the house, so we brought that with us. We were debating, honestly, on canceling the trip and said we were going to power through. I'm glad we did. We came back all, like, really drained, but, you know, I think we really would have missed out, you know, not even financially. Like, the memories that were made, everything was perfect in that it started snowing the day before we got there. So there was fresh snow on the ground. Then when we were driving to New Hampshire, which was a 3.5-4 hour trip, it started snowing just a little bit. So it didn't become like dangerous. It was just like flying around. And when we went and went tubing down the mountain, there was a snow squall. So it was like freezing and hard snow that was blowing sideways. And that's, I mean, it might not sound like good, but it was great for them to experience all that, you know? And yep. For the most part, there could have been a chance where there was no snow except the stuff that was made on the mountain, you know? Like, there was a definite chance of that. So it was really cool to be able to do all that. And, you know, what I did realize and notice is that everybody vacations different, and the anxiety. And I've learned a lot from you, Dennis, through the years of, like, you know, if you're feeling anxious, you tell us how it feels, and then it's a thing. And then we don't, you know, we will kind of change the plan up. So that way, so I wish I listened a little bit more, because I think this trip was a little bit too much on Becky. She was super stressed out. My family was like, is she okay? Because she was very anxious the entire time. And she was also dealing with a sick child, so she had to go through all that. So she probably had the least amount of fun, but everybody else had a good time. And really, we did it for the kids, you know. So it was good. But I'm excited to be back. I think in the summer I might have another trip, but just Olivia and I going. And I'm also going to be doing more things with Olivia. And then if the boys want to join, they can as well, because I love always doing a bunch of stuff, and I'm fine sitting and not doing stuff. But I feel like the last little bit, maybe last year, year and a half, I haven't been doing as much as I would actually like to with the family, because if Becky's exhausted from work, then we just kind of hang at home, and I don't want to miss out on the time. So I don't know if, you know, that one way or the other, if I shouldn't, but, you know, I got her blessing of like, hey, if you want to do something, just do it. You know, don't ask me if I want to do it and then I feel bad because I say no, or then I do it and then I feel worse. So I'm going to try that on for size and yeah, use some of the principles to really make that work, you know. So always growing. So James, you came up with this week's topic. How'd you do that?
It was last week, I think, when we were on the podcast that came up with it. And I think I was looking at one of my little monster toys. And that was it. And then I thought about it a little bit, and to me, monsters are, you know, temporal, and they're physical beings or humans as monsters on this earth. If we're getting into specifics, and demons are more, you know, eternal, or they're spiritual and they're in the mind and they embody people's souls. And I do believe in both of them. And they exist in many different ways. For me, I think about when people are alcoholics and they're addicted and they're deep in their addictions, they become monsters. Mainly because all they can think about is themselves. They don't care about anyone around them. They'll step on anyone and anything to get what they want. And, you know, that's how I lived my life for many years. You know, life just was horrible. And I created this. And I created it because I was so selfish and sick, and I really needed help. And I believe that there are many human beings walking around as monsters because they're sick in their addiction and they haven't got the help they need. And sometimes people aren't even addicted. They're just monsters because they're selfish and they don't care who they hurt. Monsters is a pretty strong word. But, you know, it's just what I believe. Demons, I believe, are real. Miles traffic light camera ahead. I believe that
no cross talking.
I believe can be possessed by demons, and I believe that as we create this destruction in our lives, we have demons that kind of are in our head, and when we don't confront these demons and our issues, things get worse. So. I truly believe that, you know, if you're connected to a higher power, if you're contacting God and staying close to Him and looking up and saying hi and help me through this, please, I don't think demons have a chance to get a hold of you. I truly believe that. If you're on the right side, the light side, the darkness cannot get you. So because I've connected to God, I can confront my demons and really put them to bed. There's no shame and guilt in my life. I'm not looking over my shoulder anymore for the things I did the past day. You know, I have since destroyed the monster I was and became a child of light and just living this life in a really peaceful and loving way. And as I see monsters and people possessed by demons, it's my job to be loving and kind to them because they are sick individuals that just might need a smile today. So until people find the light, they're going to be in the dark. And who am I to judge and to be, you know, mean to others who are having a hard time? You know, so I'm going to choose to be loving today. And that's what I got from my little inspiration last week. I hope you guys liked it.
Nice. Thanks, James.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, what do you have?
Dennis.
Chlamydia. Oh, wait, no. I'm just kidding. I don't have chlamydia.
I think that's one of the ones that can be cured.
Yeah, I think so, with penicillin.
I don't know, buddy.
I don't know from experience.
This is not that podcast.
I'm sorry, that was a horrible joke.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
You're a monster.
You know, we can talk about that next week on the topic of oversharing.
It's your turn too.
Yeah. Like first thing that I thought of whenever James picked the topic was pretty much what he just shared, you know, like I look at it as like our demons as kind of like our vices or our shortcomings, you know, our addiction, our selfishness, our greed, you know, that kind of stuff. And if they go unchecked and go unconquered, then we become monsters. You know, I think in my alcoholism, my active years, I think there was definitely moments where my demons got the best of me and I was a monster. You know, luckily they were like periodic moments, right? And like, I guess more often towards the end, maybe. But if I didn't make the decision to like pursue like a sober life and choose to like quit and conquer those demons, there's a great chance that like the monster would have taken over and I would have just been that monster, you know. You do see it in people. You like James says, you know, monster is a strong word, but we're using it just metaphorically here. And I think every human has the chance of being a monster or being like a saint or an angel or whatever. And you do see it out in the world where people do exhibit like traits of being not a very nice person or not a very good or ethical person. A lot of that stems from, you know, I think self-centeredness, just like our alcoholism does, where, you know, you're only thinking about yourself and you don't care how your actions like affect other people. So, you know, you do selfish things in the pursuit of what you think you want or need or whatever. And that's usually how people get hurt. You know, I think it stems from selfishness and a lack of like caring how your consequences affect people around you, which I think is the most important thing we learn in recovery, really. But it also reminds me of, like, you know, we've all seen the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? I mean, that, like, I look at that story and I see, like, the recovery, you know, that's like the two sides of us. We could be like the mild-mannered doctor that has a goal of, like, helping other people get well and stuff. Or we can just turn into this raging monster. And sometimes it can happen at like, you know, a flip of a switch, you know, a turn of a dime, whatever phrase you want to use, it can just happen without us even realizing it. But I think like in recovery, we're lucky enough that we get tools that can help battle those, you know, with obviously what James mentioned with a reliance on a higher power and a surrender to a higher power, but then also like, utilizing, you know, the fourth step to identify those demons and utilizing the fifth step to, like, you know, tell God and another alcoholic or whatever so you don't have to fight those demons alone. And then you move on to the other steps, which is like maintenance of like keeping those demons at bay, you know. And then, you know, we're always reminded of like the monster we have been and that could return if we like go back and like start feeding those demons with the alcohol and drugs and shit and stuff. Sorry. Mm-hmm. What do you got, Mike?
Thanks, Dennis. You could say stuff. It's fine.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, no, you can always say stuff. Okay. Yeah, I look back and it's a difficult thing. Because I think I swung the pendulum the opposite way early in sobriety, where I listened to everyone and their shares and stuff like that. And much the opposite of some of my other friends that were in the rooms and then didn't stick it out and they went back out. I listened and said, oh, I did stuff that was that bad. Oh, I did this. And a friend of mine that I drank with, but he wasn't one of us. He didn't have, you know, the big hole in his soul. He was like, you actually didn't do that stuff. Yeah. Like that wasn't as bad. Like you didn't do some of the stuff that in your head you're feeling like the demon that you were. And so I had to like correct it. So I know a lot of the things that I did that, like James was talking about, the self-centeredness, I mean, to the core. I told many times, and maybe we can talk about oversharing next week, and I'll elaborate more on it. But I told, you know, a story in a meeting about how my wife at the time called me up and said that she had an emergency. And my first response wasn't, oh, what is it? It was a, oh, is this really an emergency? That was the first words. And then she told me she dropped a knife on her toe and she was bleeding. And I would have loved to have said that I told her the truth that, hey, I just pulled into the parking lot. I'm downstairs. I'll come right up. But I had just opened a tall boy. So I chugged the tall boy to try to get done. I said, hey, I'm right down the street. I'll be right there. When in reality, I was in the parking lot and I had to, you know, I was so selfish that I felt like I needed it. And it doesn't make sense to anybody that's not an alcoholic. Like it, I could understand why somebody that's not would think that that's like monster behavior. But that was the monster of my disease. Like, I wasn't in the right headspace. You know, my head at the time said, you know what? She should have been more careful. And I'm sure her toe isn't really hanging off because she exaggerates, you know. And it was bad. It wasn't remove the toe bad, but it was bad enough. And more than that, because I drank all that so quickly, I was just hammered. And she was asking me to, like, help her. And I couldn't because I was sneak drinking. So it was just an awful situation, you know. And that kind of self-centeredness is what I got myself into all the time because I was hiding my drinking towards the end. You know, getting into car accidents, slamming into another car, and really having very little fear when a police officer pulls up and I'm talking to him and I'm just a couple, you know, maybe a foot and a half away from his face. And definitely have beer on my breath, you know, and dressed like somebody that shouldn't be out of the house anyway. You know, I didn't have control of my life. And it took me a while to actually get control. It didn't take, it took more than just putting the drink down. It took more than just picking up the big book. It took more than even, in my opinion, making it through the steps. It took time. It took a long time for me to not have resentment looking around at people drinking or anything that had to do with alcohol because I still was romanticizing the drink. It wasn't until I realized that there wasn't actually anything good in the drink the last several years. You know, like the good times were good times and then there was drinks. The good times weren't good because of the drinks and then what else was happening. So it's like a reframing of the importance of life and the things that are in it. You know, did they at times get better because of a drink? I think I perceived it that way. But I think right now, some of the best moments, I'm clear-headed. I have memories. And I really like always being able to be on call. Anytime somebody needs me. And it's very rare that anyone, you know, calls me up out of the blue and says, hey, I need your help right now. But I can straight up tell you, based on my work schedule, if anybody needed me after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I would have been out of commission Monday through Friday. And the weekends would have been almost the entire weekend that I would have blown over. And I wouldn't have been able to get into a car and go anywhere without potentially getting a DUI. So, you know, I'm grateful this program actually showed me how to manage those demons in sobriety early, because they didn't, for me, they didn't just poof away. The desire to have a drink was removed, but it wasn't overnight. And I thought I already found God, and still I had those demons trying to, you know, take myself away from his will and bring it back to my will, which was my downfall towards the end. So I love that Monsters and Demons. It's stuff like this when you actually look around and you see, you know, a monster or a demon figure, right? That's a telltale sign of that our heads are first and foremost in recovery and in a positive service headspace, instead of just looking at that and saying, oh, that's just a little character that's, you know, on my desk or whatever, you know. So thank you, James. Any final words, since this was your topic, to wrap it up with?
Dennis proposes we do aliens, so.
Okay, we could do oversharing the week after.
I like the idea of doing oversharing. I think that would be a good topic.
Okay, well, you can decide, Dennis, whether it's one or the other, okay?
How about oversharing about alien encounters?
Nope. We can't just do a versus or and every single week, Dennis. That wouldn't be fair. We already have the tear and share. We can't do aliens and oversharing, or oversharing aliens, you know? Unless we lived close to the border. And then it would have been a different thing.
Wow.
Is that not okay? They're still, actually, they're what? People from another country is what it's called. That's the politically correct, just so I know.
Well, I mean, the technical term of alien is a person from another country, yeah.
Okay, so it does work.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we'll work.
But we're talking about space aliens.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Yeah. Now I know.
Well, now you know.
Well, we'll be
more
back.
You know.
We'll be back next Thursday, sharing our experience, strength, and hope with you with episode 232. We're the Defective Characters. Entirely right to have all these character defects. Remember, recovery didn't open the gates of heaven and let me in, but it opened the gates of hell and let me out. We'll see you next time.
Woohoo!